Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Thanks for being here as we celebrate the resurrection from the dead of our God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter 19, verse 30 says this, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his human spirit into the hands of God the Father." What a miserable 3 days it must have been for the apostles, who were known then as the 12, and for the disciples of the Lord, his students, to watch him die a gruesome death on the cross and to have their hope for a bright future shattered. And as he lay in the ground for 3 full days and nights, and as they followed the Jewish practice of sitting Shiva, which is a period of deep mourning. I've thought a lot about them this year and what that must have been like for them and how dark that must have felt. We felt times like that in our own lives. And during times like these, we can only take comfort in his words. Mark chapter 9, verse 31 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples and telling them, 'The Son of Man,'" that's a reference to himself, "'is to be delivered into the hands of godless men," unbelievers, "and they will kill him," his true humanity, his body. "And when he has been killed, he will rise from the dead 3 days later." So while they were grieving, you know, grieving is such an intense and emotional period, I bet you they had forgotten his words. Just like when we're under pressure, it's easy to forget his words and his promises. "I will not fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed." How often this week did you forget that as you were going through the ups and downs of the week? Well, Thomas, the apostle known as the doubting one, gives us a glimpse into the grief of the 3 days when the Lord was in the grave. For Thomas, the misery lasted even longer than 3 days. It was nearly 2 weeks before he knew for sure that the Lord had risen from the dead. John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25 say this, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with the rest of the 12 when Jesus came in a resurrection body to appear before them. So the other disciples were saying to Thomas, 'We've seen the Lord.' But Thomas said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" When we are grieving, it's hard to believe anything. The Lord's death on a cross was a shock for his apostles and his disciples, even though it should not have been, for he predicted it and revealed it to them. And he also made a promise, John chapter 16, verse 7, "I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you the truth, that it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, God the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go away, and I am, I will send God the Holy Spirit to you. And when God the Holy Spirit of truth comes," this is John 16, 13, "he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come." The cross made our so great salvation possible. Today we celebrate the proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, his resurrection from the dead. Turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. I know our teenagers are going to observe the courtesy of not talking during the service, right? I know that Deacon Elliot and Deacon Caleb have taught you that. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Starts this way, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices, the spices which they had prepared for embalming the body of one who is dead. And they found the stone that was in front of the grave rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men who were really angels suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. Luke 24:5, and as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men, the angels, said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" What a great comment. Luke 24:6, "He is not here, but he has risen from the dead. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee?" Luke 24:7, "Saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, unbelievers, and be crucified, and the third day rise again from the dead." And then they remembered the Lord's words. When we're grieving, we don't remember much. Luke 24:9, "And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest." The 11, because Judas Iscariot was no longer among the number. Luke 24:10, "Now they were with Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling these things to the apostle." Mary, the mother of James, is Mary, the mother of Jesus as well. Luke 24:11, "But these words appeared to the apostles as nonsense, and they would not believe the women." Luke 24:12, "But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened." Welcome to the celebration of the most sacred day in divine history, the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen from the dead. This celebration is the day when Jesus proved that he is God. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "There is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So lest there be any confusion at all, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is risen. And as God prepares our souls for celebration, let's worship our Lord in song. The opening song is "Whosoever." Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for proving that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the one in whom we have hope. Help us to enjoy his resurrection as we look in hope to the future when we experience ourselves being raised from the dead through our union with him. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, the resurrection celebration, the Lord is risen. But first, a few announcements. First announcement is we're moving to a new location. You can clap for that. So starting next week, April 27th, we will no longer be here at the Hilton. We'll be moving to 1220 South Alma School Road, which is at Alma School in Southern, in Suite 201 in Mesa, Arizona. And I would suggest that you do not approach from Southern Avenue, but that you approach from other directions like Alma School. And I think you should probably plan to get to the church about a half an hour early so that you don't have to come in late because you've been looking around. You know, you come right at 9 and then you're looking all over the place. There's an elevator that can take you to the second floor if you don't like stairs, but there's only about 20 stairs to climb. And there are restrooms in the facility. And so I think you're going to like our new home. This will be our new home for the next 3 years. And we are really happy about it. Maps have been sent to you via your email address, if we have your email address. There are also maps in the back. We want to thank the Hilton, both here and in Mesa, the Hyatt Place Hotel, Brookline College. We having some trouble with the audio? Yeah. As in you can't hear me? Wow. It's probably my throat. It's muffled. How's that? Is that a little better? Is that any better? Ish. So I'll do whatever you want. We can press on or get a new mic or whatever we need to do. Oh, you want me to use June's mic until that comes? Check. Is it on? Is this on? Hi, I'm Phil Donahue. Is the caller there? Oh, yeah, I got a broadcasting background, yeah. All right, so maps are in the back, and we're continuing our announcement about moving to a new location. We want to thank the Hilton, both here and in Mesa, the Hyatt Place Hotel over in Gilbert, Brookline College in Mesa, the American Legion with its pool table and creepy light, my house, both 1903 West Aspen and my current location, and all the locations who've hosted this nomad congregation for all these years. And greetings to Fiesta Square, our new home, our church, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. Now we're going to take the offering, and you want to come up and change it before we do that? Change my microphone. All right, so you're going to be responsible for the volume now and everything. I don't have to turn anything on, turn anything off. It's awesome. So I can't swear nearly as much as I usually do when you guys are listening to songs. I'll have to clean it up a little bit. All right, so, by the way, prayers for Emily Goodall. So she's experiencing some challenges with the pregnancy. She's in the hospital, and the baby's okay. She's okay, but a lot of discomfort, of course. But she could use your prayers, as can Deacon Denny. That's why he's not here today. He's attending to her. And so we're very hopeful about the situation, and I think she's in her 29th week now. And so the baby got a nickname among the doctors. They're calling him Houdini because every time they go look for him, he's someplace other than where they think he's going to be. But everything seems to be fine, and progress seems to be being made. So let's just keep her in our prayers because we know that prayers work. So we're going to take the offering next, and I'm going to stand in for Deacon Denny. I'm not going to give nearly as wonderful a talk as he usually does. But let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And it says, each one of you must do just as is purposed in your own heart, and not grudgingly, not giving grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. And so here's what I want to say. Our financial policy is, even though we're sanctioned by God to charge for the things that we provide so that you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right, and therefore no price appears on any materials from Baran Ministries, not our CDs, not our Bibles, not our books, none of the things that are for worship. And anyone who desires biblical teaching or any of these things may have them free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they're not free of cost, and we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support to the ministry so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. You know, every once in a while I get on the internet and interact with pastors or Christians in other locations outside the United States. And it's really funny to hear them say things like, we don't have any grace-oriented churches in our area. And so, you know, I'll always ask, well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean there are no grace-oriented churches? And they'll say things like, all the churches in our area teach religions, and none of it is based on grace, and all of it is based on works. And in a lot of situations, there's a lot of hostility in those areas where, if they go to worship as Christians, there are other religious groups who seek to kill them. And it's literally, they seek to kill them. And so, you know, that's just something that you should know, that this thing that we're able to do here is special. We're able to assemble. We don't have any bullets whizzing over our head. We don't have any threat. We have water to drink that is clean and clear. It's not coming out of pipes that are horrible. We have a great situation here, and I hope as we grow as a church, we start to expose ourselves to some of the realities that other Christians experience around the world, because it's pretty shocking what others experience. And, you know, I think over the course of time, it's really easy as Christians in the United States to get pretty arrogant and to start, you know, roaming off into all these goofy things about Christianity when Christianity is extremely simple. Christ went to the cross to provide your so great salvation. And there are a lot of people in other countries who are just desperate to hear those messages, that simple message every week. Yet we here in the United States sit here and we are, you know, judging the messages. Well, I don't really like that part of the message. I don't really like that part of the message. And people around the world would cut off a leg to get these messages. And so, you know, it's something that we need to keep in our minds. Yeah, you know, I was thinking last night that, you know, how relaxed I am in my life because of my relationship with Christ, and how I know that, you know, when I look at the cross, I know what that cross means. I know why we're happy that nobody's on that cross. And I know exactly what that means. And I know that when I start feeling palpitations or something, and I'm thinking, oh man, maybe I'll have a heart attack, I'm not worried about it because I know exactly where I'm going if I close my eyes in this life. We can't take that for granted, but we do. And I'm starting to think taking it for granted is what God wants us to do, because we're secure. You know, when you're secure, you don't sit there thinking about it all the time. I'm secure, man, I'm secure. We just are. We can't lose our salvation. We have it. It's something to relax about. I see guests sometimes when they come into the church and they have this look on their face like they're being beaten. You know, like they're just so uncomfortable. But I see the same people sometimes in situations where they're watching sports. And I never see that look. You know what I mean? You know, there's something that happens when people come into church, you know. And this is a place to relax. This is a place to enjoy. This is a place to hear a message that is positive and uplifting. That in spite of all the turbulence that's going on in your life, that there is a being who created you, who loves you unconditionally, and who wants the best for you. whether you want him or not, whether you accept him or not, whether you believe in him or not, he thought about you a billion years ago. A billion years ago, and thought so much of you that he would go to a cross to pay for the opportunity for you to go to heaven. That's what excites me about being here. When you give to an organization like this, when you give to Baran Ministries, you're not only making it possible for yourselves to hear the Word of God, but you're making it possible for people all around the world to hear the Word of God. People who are in areas where the only way they can hear a message like this is on the internet during the infrequent times when they can get on. Our startup costs in the new location, we're a real church now. Our startup costs are around $11,000 now, right? So it's kind of shocking, actually. It's like, wow, you know, that much in a short period of time. But we're going to the real place. We're going to be in the same location for 3 years. Wow. We haven't done that since we were in my house. So great things coming together. For all the people who are making that happen, thank you. Larry Collins, the deacons, Ann, Jenny, all the people who are participating in that, Mike, carrying all those TVs. Mike still, I saw Mike out on Guadalupe still trying to peddle TVs. We got like 300 tube TVs over at our property. Hopefully this is the last stop before we go to our property, and we're looking forward to that. In the near future, our architect, Nick, is going to be meeting with small groups of us and have you give him feedback on what kind of church we want to build. And so I'll be getting you information about when those meetings are. We're going to try to arrange them on Sundays so that you could go right after church and spend a couple hours with Nick and just pour yourselves out, and I'll tell you what the preparation is so that you can go to those meetings prepared. But anyway, that's a much longer message than I think Deacon Denny gives. We're very grateful to you for your contributions, and especially to our non-resident congregation who gives about 60% of the contributions that come into this ministry. So thank you guys, too, who listen to us on the internet. Thank you who are here resident. And I will take the offering. Go ahead. The offering song is He is Lord.
Every knee shall bow.
Welcome back. A little sorry to our internet congregation. We have been experiencing some technical difficulties today. I think God is telling us to get new audio and video equipment. That's what I think the message is. So we have heard you, Lord, and we will comply. Today's study, the Resurrection Day celebration, the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. Yeah. Yeah, that's something to celebrate, and that's what that looks like. There's nobody hanging from the cross, right? Because he is risen. And that's the cross. That's the kind of cross we want to see. We don't want to look backwards at a cross that has someone on it, except at our Lord's Supper celebrations. But today, we celebrate the fact that he is risen. Turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And again, I don't think a pastor has to say much on days like this. I think the Bible speaks for itself on these days. Luke 24:13, and behold, two of the Lord's disciples. And disciples are technical students. They're not to be confused with the apostles. The apostles are the ones who had the gift of apostle, the spiritual gift of apostle. And they were the ones who were the inner circle and instructed ones by Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just the 12 either. There were the 12. Judas never accepted the apostleship, but there were 11 that did. And then there were other apostles too. And one of the things that you had to do to be an apostle is you had to see the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So behold, two of the Lord's disciples, two of his students, were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place during the crucifixion. Luke 24:15, and while they were talking and discussing, Jesus Christ himself approached and began traveling with them. See, Jesus Christ knew that dying wasn't the whole story. He proved he was God by rising from the dead, and he knew that if he had just left it like that for his followers, he would have just been another dead guy. And so when you start to circuit all of the people within the various religions that are supposedly holy people, when they die, they're just dead guys. They don't rise from the dead. But this Lord, this Jesus Christ, rose from the dead. Luke 24:16. But their eyes were being prevented from recognizing them. And Jesus prevented their eyes from recognizing him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. Luke 24:18. And one of the disciples, named Cleopas, answered and said to the Lord, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who's unaware of the things which have happened here in the last few days? And the Lord said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. Luke 24:21. But we were hoping that it was Jesus Christ who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, in the third day since... Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things have happened. And I'm sure that that is a reference to the fact that they expected him to be to rise from the dead. I'll bet that that was part of the fact that they were starting to remember what he had said. Luke 24:22. But also some women among us amazed us by what they were saying. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Luke 24:24. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But the risen Lord they did not see. Luke 24:25. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And he's talking about the Old Testament prophets. Luke 24:26, wasn't necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Luke 24:27, then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, the Lord explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the Old Testament scriptures. Luke 24:28, and they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. And they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. What they were really telling him is, buddy, you don't want to be walking around Emmaus at night. Stick with us. Luke 24:30. And when the Lord had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Luke 24:31. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Luke 24:32. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" Luke 24:33. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 minus Judas and those who were there with them. And they were saying, "The Lord has really risen from the dead and has appeared to Simon Peter." And the "they" is the people who were gathered together when they got back. Luke 24:35, and the two who were on the road to Emmaus began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Well, we join the disciples today in eating the bread and in drinking from the cup, just as our Lord requested of us. And when we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf at the cross. The shedding of his blood as the perfect sacrifice for us. The only perfect sacrifice for us. So as you remember the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please enjoy the bread, enjoy the cup. And as you do, give thanks as we listen to the Lord's Supper song. Give thanks. Welcome back. We're going to pick it up at Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Happy Resurrection Day. Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6 say this: "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen from the dead, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying.'" The women were the ones who were really listening to the Lord when he was here, and they were the first ones to the grave. And they got the good news first, that he is risen from the dead. The Lord made himself visible after his death on the cross. He had to. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 says this: "And while the disciples who were on the road to Emmaus were telling these things to the group, the Lord Jesus Christ himself stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a ghost." They thought they were seeing an apparition. "And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement," and you can imagine the joy. You can imagine the joy after thinking for that period of time when they were sitting Shiva, mourning tremendously and grieving, and thinking that it was all over. You can imagine what the joy and the amazement and the happiness and the ecstasy was of seeing their Lord. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" See, that's how we know that the Lord is black. That's how we know the Lord is black, because the first thing the brother wanted to know was where the food at. And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He said, "Why ain't this fried?" That part's not written in the Bible. "And where the greens at and the watermelon?" That part's not in the Bible. And he took it and he ate it before them. That's right. Luke 24:44, "And he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" And then he opened their minds to understand the Old Testament scripture. That's where God always takes us to, his word. He always takes us back to his word. It is written. Luke 24:46. "And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ, the Messiah, would suffer and rise again from the dead in resurrection on the third day.'" Luke 24:47. "And that repentance," changing your mind about Christ for the forgiveness of sins, "would be proclaimed in his person to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem," beginning from the worst place you could possibly proclaim it. Because if you notice, as you read the New Testament, you'll notice something very interesting, that when the Lord was on the earth, anytime he was giving really, really true messages, he did it as far away from Jerusalem as possible. And then as it came time for him to go to the cross, his messages started migrating toward Jerusalem, because that's where all the zealots were, that's where all the scribes and Pharisees were, and that's where all the people were who wanted to put him to death. People who were claiming that they were into scripture and into the Old Testament and into the prophets and into God and into his word. But what they were really into is you agreeing with them that there was a law and it had to be followed, and if you didn't follow it, then you should be punished. A lot of rules. And that is not the plan of God for our lives. Those rules were put in place to point out to us that we are not righteous. Because every time you have a rule, you can't keep it. Luke chapter 24, verse 48, he said, "You are witnesses of these things." 24:49, Luke, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power, the filling of the Spirit from on high. Luke 24:50. And the Lord Jesus Christ led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Luke 24:51. And when he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, the ascension. Death on a cross, burial, resurrection, ascension, and then after ascension, session. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Luke 24:52. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, knowing what? He is risen. And what were they doing? They were continually in the temple praising God. What about Peter? Peter was the first one that the Lord wanted to get to, and he did. And Peter proclaims the wonder of the Lord on the day of Pentecost, 40 days after the resurrection, the day when the Holy Spirit was given, the first day of the church age, the current age that we are in, a victorious day for Peter after his denial of knowing the Lord. You see, we spend so much time as human beings worried about the fact that we're human. How many times a week do you get caught being human? How many times a week do you find out just how lousy you are as a person? A lot. And you may ignore it, but the people around you see it. You may ignore it, and you may not want to hear it, and it may make you feel raw when you experience it. But we are human. And when we experience the fact that we are human, we can always go and think about Peter, who promised the Lord, "I would never, ever betray you. I would never, ever turn on you." How many times have you made the promise about what you're never, ever going to do? And then while you're doing it, you're making this self-assessment. "Man, I said I'd never do this, and look at me right now." It happens to all of us. Peter didn't let it get him down. See, that's the mark of a brilliant person. You know, all of us, when we see somebody else making a mistake, we're quick to point it out. "Oh, you did that, you did that, you did this." But after they recover from the mistake, we're never quick to point that out. We're never quick to point out, "Oh, I see that after I accused you of something that your Lord doesn't even accuse you of, and you have decided to make a change, I'm not going to come and praise you for the change." You know, we never do that part. And we don't do that for others, and we don't do it for ourselves. We don't stop and say, "Yeah, I am a scumbag. I do really stupid things, but I recover from them. I learn from my mistakes, and I change." You know, we don't acknowledge that. We just wallow in the mistake as if that is our fate. As believers in Christ, that is not our fate. We are righteous. How often during the week do we forget that we have the living God, the resurrected God, living inside of us? And we forget that. The fact that we have the living God living inside of us is not nearly as important to us as text messaging. Not nearly as important to us as our streaming, not nearly as important to us as email and voicemail. And so, no wonder that when we make mistakes and then correct them, we don't pat ourselves on the back. But Peter deserves a gigantic pat on the back because, yes, he betrayed the Lord 3 times after saying he would never do it. And then he got up from his grief and went and evangelized to 3,000 to 5,000 people. And we read excerpts from this great day in the second chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 22. "Men of Israel," this is Peter talking, "men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God the Father with miracles and wonders and signs, which God the Father performed through the Lord Jesus Christ in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God the Father, you nailed to a cross by the hands of unbelievers, godless men, and put him to death. But God the Father raised him, the Lord Jesus Christ, up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to be held in death's power. This Jesus Christ, true humanity, God the Father raised up again from the dead, to which we were all witnesses. Therefore, having been promoted to the right hand of God the Father, and having received from God the Father the promise of God the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this thing which you both see and hear, the day of Pentecost. The day when the apostles spoke in tongues, legitimate tongues. And speaking in tongues is legitimate when you are speaking in your own language and another person who speaks a different language is hearing that thing that you're speaking in their language. And that gift is dead. But this was the day on which that gift was given, the gift of speaking in tongues, where the apostles were evangelizing to 3,000 to 5,000 people, and they were speaking Hebrew, and they were being heard in the languages of the people who came from all over the place. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, we have the hope of resurrection as well, because we are in union with Christ. Not only in the life to come, but we experience in the present life, the resurrection life, as believers in Christ. We live right now this thing called the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life. We live it here on earth, and we live it in eternity. We were given it at the moment of salvation, and we will keep living it forever and ever and ever. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, our Lord says, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live, even if he dies spiritually." That's all of us. We all are spiritually dead at the moment of physical birth. "And everyone who lives the Zoe life, the resurrection life, and believes in me, has faith in me, will never die the second death in the lake of fire." "Do you believe this?" he asked Martha. And now I'm asking you, because I do. Do you? If you believe, say amen. Amen. Okay. So Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 say this: "Thanks be to God that through you, though you were slaves of the sin nature at physical birth, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed, the gospel message. And having been freed from the sovereignty of the sin nature, you became slaves of righteousness." That is us. As believers in Christ, we are slaves of righteousness. He is risen and we are happy. We are happy because we believe in him. We are happy to be slaves of righteousness. Let us offer praise and worship to God the Father for the indescribable gift of his risen Son. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ: "I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back. Because God considers your problems to be his responsibility, he cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever." The closing song is "Who Will Call Him King of Kings." Thank you. Kind of in a daze there. She forgot that she was supposed to give me the microphone. She was in the zone. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we call you all those things. King of kings, Lord of lords, mighty counselor, Prince of peace, Son of man, Son of God, all just tremendous terms of affection for all the things that you've done for us through your Son. We just pray that you help us to remember the resurrection in our hearts during those dark times, because this is a time of light. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. We pray that you keep all those things in our hearts. We thank you for illuminating our lives. And we ask for your continued blessings and the continued adversity that you use to shape us through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.